No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Keith today. We are your crew for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. And you know, I got to tell you, I'm a happy camper right now, Keith. I'm pretty happy.
Hey, you're camping now, like my wife and I?
No, it was a figure of speech.
No,
but I know.
I know you're not putting up a tent again.
No, I know you. You have your own RV.
Well, so yeah, but
maybe glamping's in my future. But yeah, we'll see. But I digress. Or did I already do that? I'm happy, not just because I just got back from the Turks and Caicos and spending a week out on the water, diving to my heart's content. My heart's very happy right now because I just got back from the cardiologist.
Oh,
so I came back from my trip, went to the cardiologist, got off another medication. I am now officially off all the meds that I had since my open heart surgery a little over a year ago.
That's pretty good.
That's awesome.
I don't think people do that very often where they get off everything within a year, if they ever do.
This is true.
I know people that are, you know, on medication for life.
I either did very well on my recovery, or she's like, you're so far gone, it ain't going to make any difference at this point.
I did have a talk with her.
Yeah, okay. But see, here's the thing. You know, I've been hoping this day would come because I knew I'd get through all my medical BS that I have to go through with the FAA to get recertified to get back in the cockpit. But these medications they put you on, the blood thinners, blah, 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 you know, it's more paperwork nonsense. Honestly, the stuff I was on wasn't that big a deal, really. It could have been done. But now I don't have to even deal with that pretty much now. So, other than going through the special assessment program with AOPA, I don't have to worry so much about all the meds. You know what I mean?
That's a fantastic thing.
Yeah, I'm off my meds. Look out, world! Here I come!
You ought to see him. He's just all giddy today.
Yeah, it feels good, though.
Feels good to be sober, doesn't it?
It wasn't those kind of meds. I still have those in my back pocket when you and Ed push me too far. Yeah.
Well, Ed hasn't been able to do that lately, so I guess you're blaming me.
That's true. He's been out plowing the fields.
Yes, he has, literally.
Yeah.
Well, not plowing.
What was
he harvesting.
You get a plow to harvest, don't you?
No.
That's a different thing.
That's a different thing, yeah.
So plowing's getting ready to plant stuff.
There you go.
Harvesting is, and he was harvesting, what, pumpkins for Halloween, or what do we know?
Well, he is a pumpkin head.
True.
No, they're harvesting corn and soybeans.
Okay. So next week, we were going to have a corn and soybean casserole delivered to the Just Plane Radio studios.
That would be nice.
It doesn't sound very appealing to me, actually.
I'm not sure that, if Ed made it, probably not, but, you know.
Yeah, that's the guy who likes to fry turkeys.
Yes.
You know, so.
I don't think anything's going to be coming out of this.
You don't think we're going to get squat out of it?
No.
Not even some soybeans?
Other than the fact that we've had a 3-week hiatus from Ed?
Hey, there's a reason to party.
So that's why you're so happy today.
Well, you threw that into the mix. Who wouldn't be? Yeah. So anyway, he'll be back next week, and he has to be because, you know, we got an AOPA fly-in to go to, and you'll hear all about it 2 weeks from today on the big show. But that happens, we're going to fly in on a Friday, I believe, before, a week from Friday, we're flying in. So it's going to be good.
The 27th or something?
Yeah, 27th. But it's Friday, Saturday, goes over, right. You know, the weekend. But we'll talk about that in a couple weeks. But the other thing, you know, that I'm kind of still riding high on is my trip to the Turks and Caicos.
Why is that?
Well, you know, this was the island.
You were diving?
Well, that was part of it, but I got to see firsthand what Hurricane Maria did.
Ah, yes.
To that island, which was pretty devastating for those folks. You know, everything's getting overshadowed by you know, Puerto Rico yeah. and the States and stuff. But there's a lot of islands in the Caribbean, a lot of friends of mine that I work with in the dive community that have been hit hard. And one of them was Dominica. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. The other one is Turks and Caicos. Really was pretty much the first island that got whacked hard. Actually, I think it was Dominica. Then they went right over to Turks and Caicos. I might have my storms mixed up. But regardless, Turks and Caicos took a big hit about a month ago. And I was anxious to get out there to the island and see how they have fared. And it was good to see that, you know, when I landed on the airport, there didn't seem to be any issues whatsoever at the airport. They had power. Everything's good. The cab ride to the boat that I spent for the week, I was asking her about how the island been doing. I saw some down power poles and things like that. And she said, well, she goes, we're actually doing pretty good. We're about 70% back with power for the whole island, which is pretty good because they yeah. literally were pretty much flattened kind of as far as the power grid was concerned, like San Juan and Puerto Rico and stuff. So they've come back pretty quick. I didn't notice any structural damage, you know, that was obvious at this point, which was, you know, 4 or 5 weeks later, which is good. They cleared up most of the debris, but I did see a lot of down power lines and things like that. And I heard a few stories about how the airlifts and general aviation was helping get supplies where it needed, especially in the early hours. Once again, GA stepped up to the bat. And I was like, hey, I'm a pilot, even though I'm going diving, you know.
So they're pretty positive about the general aviation, aren't they?
I believe so.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, the airport there, Providenciales, seemed to be fully operational. I didn't see anything that looked out of place, actually, at all when we landed. Now, there could be some things that I overlooked, but I was happy to see that.
Absolutely, you know? Yeah.
And I wasn't really concerned about the accommodations and things on the island. Because I was going to live on a boat all week, and it was all self-contained, had its own food, water, the whole thing. But it was nice to see, like I said, that the island and the folks seem to have a pretty positive attitude about things. We're happy to see people coming back. So if you've had any travel plans to the Turks and Caicos, and you've been wondering whether you should go or not, go! They're open for business. The weather was spectacular. Oh, my gosh. The only thing I missed during the week... hanging out on the boat all week was if I would have had a plane. I did have a drone. Or I should say the captain.
Captain had a drone. Was he doing some fish spotting for you?
He was taking video of me, you know, from above on the boat. Yeah. He's like, hey, we need to get some footage of you on a boat. And I you know, did the whole song. I'm on a boat. I'm on a boat. And I was looking up at the drone waving the whole thing. So we'll get that posted eventually.
I don't want to see that video.
To annoy everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was a good time. And
well, I'm glad the weather was beautiful there because it's been rough here in Florida.
Has it? Was it? Really?
Yeah.
So the last week was kind of stormy through the week? Really?
Very much so.
Wow. Wow. I'm glad yeah, I'm not you.
We still have a lot of flooding here.
Hmm. Well, I know we did get a lot
of roads
rain.
Have been shut down this week. And
in Orlando?
Yes.
I see. I didn't know that.
That's because you've been gone.
I've been in paradise in the Turks and Caicos. I was living a Corona beer commercial all week last week.
Well.
It's pretty sweet. It was good to be me.
Well, you must have taken it easy because you did get cleared from your cardiologist, so you must not have gone too hard on the Corona.
I did not. I didn't drink Corona. They didn't have that on the boat. Otherwise, I probably would have. but everything was included, so I might add a nip here and then, but nothing crazy. I was diving. I was focused on wanting to see the underwater stuff. I wanted to see if the hurricane had any effect on the reefs, and really, it, you know, there was a little bit of stuff here and there, a little variation, but it was all good. So the hurricane didn't really affect things as much as I thought they could have, topside, let alone down below.
How deep are the reefs, sir?
Well, it depends on how deep you want to go. They go off into the oblivion because a lot of wall diving in the Turks and Caicos. So you cruise off, you know, like 30, 40 feet, and then it'll slope off or come to a wall and go into the abyss, you know, down 100 plus, way, way deeper potentially. But it's a cool place to dive. Sharks everywhere. We're having a good time. So all the typical critters I'd see on a trip like that. But getting back to the drone thing, one thing I learned about drones, because I don't have one, as much as I talk about them, you'd think I'd have one at this point, but no, because I don't want to contribute to air traffic pollution. you know, that I think this is a problem for young flyers like myself. And young flyer, I mean, in the sense that I'm still early in my flying career.
We had a close encounter this past week.
Did you really?
Not me personally, but one of our instructors did.
Well, if I would have got behind the controls of the captain's drone, I could see how that could be me being creating a problem. Because I don't know, he looked pretty nervous flying his drone to take this video of me on the boat. And the reason was because his drone doesn't float. And when you're on a boat,
well,
you know,
I can imagine you'd be pretty nervous there.
It uses a GPS home return. You know, they have that little feature on a lot of drones now. But when you're on a boat, your boat's constantly moving. So that GPS feature doesn't really help. Like, hey, go home. And then it lands, you know, off the wall at about 150 feet of water. And bloop, 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 bloop. Yeah, he's lost one out of four already. So I figured that was a sign not to get involved in that activity.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your dive safety association.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Hey, I'm Scott Fitzgerald. You probably don't recognize me because I'm in corporate.
So am I. This is corporate.
Little too much so, if you ask me. I try to have fun, right? I mean, you know, but we're not landing planes here.
Our company manufactures aircraft landing gear systems.
Yep, uh-huh. Well, I am going to fly us over a few more drinks.
I'm just sitting out here watching airplanes take off and fly.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Keith, rounding out the crew today. All right, so last week, I believe it was last week, or maybe the week before, we were talking about flying banners. And I don't remember what sparked the conversation, Keith, but it got brought up, and you were talking about how the guys that fly these banners have to fly at a fairly slow speed. Oh, I know what it was about, the NFL guy.
Right.
Who was doing it over the stadium.
Over the stadium.
Protesting the NFL and kneeling and all that craziness. And I will tell you.
The owner wanted to have a TFR put up over the stadium.
Right.
To prevent him from flying over the.
And the FAA said, I don't think so.
You don't have enough.
We're not a fan either.
Yes.
Up yours, NFL. And so So, yeah, that was a good story, but it did tweak one of our listeners, at least one. I got a couple emails from some banner-flying pilots that thought we had not given them the, the props that they deserve, I guess. Pun intended, maybe.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sure. And, I'm sure you tried to do that. Yes.
Yeah. And I don't know. He was saying, like, look, we don't fly, you know, close to a stall. Don't make this sound like it's a dangerous activity. And I don't recall making that comment. Maybe you did.
I might have made a comment like that. If I did, I apologize. But it's they do fly very slow.
Yeah.
And a lot
but it's not right before stall. I think that's what he was like. Hey, we don't fly before stall. You make it sound like we're going to kill ourselves or something. No, we know what we're doing.
Yeah, no, it is very, very slow, and you're obviously a lot closer to the stall speed there than you are if you're just in normal cruise with that same airplane.
Well, I would think so. Yeah, but with the banner hanging behind, it's like flying a kite or something. Maybe it gives you more stability, or I don't know. You think if it started falling, if it stalled, maybe the banner would slow your descent.
Yeah, probably not. It'll probably drag you down.
Okay. Well, there's that. And send your hate mail to Keith at justplaneradio.com. But no, hey, we love our banner pilots. Don't get the wrong idea.
We've got a lot of banner pilots here in Orlando.
Yeah.
At Orlando Executive, we've got a lot of banner pilots.
Do you associate with them when you see them in the flight deck area there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So there you go. Keith thinks banner pilots are real people, too.
Oh, yeah. So are ag pilots and everybody else.
Did you say egg pilots?
Ag.
Oh.
Agricultural.
Okay. I would like to be an egg pilot.
Yeah.
Just chuck eggs out the window.
Yeah, no.
It's like,
egg.
Hey, take this, loser. Okay. Well, they ought to start egg pilot, an egg pilot club, I'm just saying.
Well, why don't you see if Atlantic will do that for us?
Yeah.
Instead of having the flower drop, we'll have the egg drop.
That would be, well, it'd be an Easter thing. Kind of.
They won't even let
traumatize us traumatize young kids on Easter Day.
Yeah, there you go. Try to hit the Easter bunny.
oh, sorry, Junior. Meant to hit the Easter bunny. It'll wash out. Don't worry. Yeah. Anyway, so...
bring back Showalter so we can have flower drops and landing contests.
They were pretty personable, weren't they, as opposed to the corporate, you know, thing that's kind of taken over. But, you know, hey, they got to make a buck. I understand. You know, we have been covering this fact with the FBOs. And AOPA has been on this, on the forefront of this, of having people report in what they're charging for, like, you know, service fees, landing fees, things like that. Surprise fees that pilots don't expect when they land at an airport anywhere across the country. And some of them are, you know, being accused of gouging. And AOPA has been taking in a lot of data. Now they're taking this to the next step and starting to... I mean, they're calling out the FBOs that are charging too much and saying, hey, this is this is ridiculous. You should lose your license or whatever agreement with the airport because you're charging too much. And they've been getting on them. But now they are starting to look at setting up guidelines of what they feel evidently might be like a fair fee, I guess, you know, like some guidelines for the FBOs to decide, like, okay, what your fees are going to be. And I don't know how this is going to play out. This could backfire a little bit, too, potentially. I don't know. You know what I mean?
It could, but it certainly would be nice. But
I think because most pilots would agree that they don't want any. You know what I'm saying?
Well, most pilots believe that they pay enough fees in the taxes on the fuel that we burn.
Right.
And that's where our fees are supposed to come from.
Mm-hmm.
Our user fees, if you will, and don't take that thinking that I want user fees or anything else, but the fees that pay for our use of the airspace system and all that kind of stuff comes from our taxes that we pay on the fuel.
Right.
Which is why avgas in most places is more expensive than jet fuel.
Sure. And you know, fuel prices are one thing, and yeah, there's always going to be variation depending on the services that the FBO provides and stuff. I think what's really getting a lot of pilots is when they land in an airport and there's this, like, landing fee thing.
Yeah, you've got landing fees, you got, you know, service fees, you got all kinds of stuff. I mean, they're getting to be like crazy airlines.
Yeah. There's one thing if you're paying for the service, but when you don't expect to get it, hit with it. You know, a service fee or a landing fee, I think those are the ones that are, you know, the ones that are really irking people.
Ramp
fees. I mean, I remember Dennis was planning to swing by and pick us up or pick me up in Orlando, and then he realized, you know, it was going to cost him $50 just to pick me up. He says, you're on your own. See you, loser. So I was like, oh, man, see, you screwed me there, guys. Come on.
See, you're not worth $50.
I'm not. No way. I wouldn't pay $50 for me. You kidding me? Yeah, go land it in this field over here, and then I'll hop off and, do that kind of thing. But I don't know. I would assume what they're going to do is start doing, they're creating this database of fees, and then they're going to say, okay, this is what, you know, typical fees are in your area. You should not exceed this, or, you know, stay within the average or what. I mean, I don't know how they're doing. I guess that'll be a good question for Tom Haines.
It would be a great question for him because, you know, the AOPA is working very hard on this. And you know, we've had discussions before mm-hmm. about that. We have some customers that own chains or that work for big chain FBOs.
Right.
And it's a very touchy subject with them as well.
Sure. Yeah, it's not one of their favorite topics to address, is it?
No, definitely not.
Yeah, because it's usually bad PR whenever you want to say, oh, yeah, we want to charge more. Like, why? Well, because we got to make some money. So, yeah, I mean, I understand their reluctance to want to dive, you know, go down that flight path conversation with a pilot or two. But, you know, hey, hopefully we'll find some happy medium there.
But if we want general aviation to stay alive,
gotta support it.
They gotta
support it.
They gotta
make the money. Gotta make their money.
Gotta make their money off the fuel.
Gotta pay the bills, yeah.
People buy more fuel if they won't have the fees.
Okay.
In my opinion.
I believe it. More coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet, I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Keith. We are your crew as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. All right, so we got to give AOPA some props on their effort to push through that basic med. It's now been in effect since, what, May of last year? And they just crossed over the 20,000 pilot mark that is using basic med to get their certificate. That's impressive, isn't it?
That is very impressive.
Those are way higher numbers than I think anybody would have expected at this point. Would you agree?
I agree. And you know, that's a great thing for aviation.
It's excellent. It's,
more people are getting involved.
More people, you know, more guys that are thinking, I don't want to deal with all this medical garbage anymore and decided to give it up. And maybe they're hanging in there and decided, well, maybe it won't be so hard after all. So, I would say that program, that basic med program, has been a massive, massive success. So hats off to AOPA for pushing that effort forward and finally making it happen. That's good stuff. Now, the NBAA, National Business Aviation Association, has been, they put out a press release talking about DASALT. What is DASALT? Are they like a...
DASALT.
Oh, is that how you say it?
Yeah, DASALT.
DASALT is how you say it if you read it.
Okay.
If you're French, you're DASALT. No? I don't know. Anyway, Dassault and Aviation has revealed a long-term effort to develop autonomous co-pilots for future business jets. And so, they
had those back in the movie Airplane.
Exactly. Now they're just, you know, it's like, life imitating art kind of thing.
Yeah, there you go. See?
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know if they'll go with the whole blow-up doll design. I think they should. And make the technology more user-friendly, and I think it would go to market quicker because people would just want to see it.
Well, and maybe they want to use it at that point. I don't know.
Well, hey, Hey, now, that would be some multitasking those co-pilots could perform for a price, I would assume. All right, so there you go. Now you know. Plan accordingly.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Everybody on every plane should just constantly be going, oh my God! Wow! Yes! You're sitting in a chair in the sky.
Yes.
Come on and fly. Makes everything all right. Way up in the sky, yeah, yeah. Got to feel alive.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Keith, as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. All right, so the Sunflyer was like the first FAA-approved two-seater electric airplane. And we've covered this before on the show. But now, the guys who make that plane, or the gang that make that plane, have introduced a plan to release a four-seater that will have a payload of 800 pounds. So initially, the two-seater is like, what's the that ain't going to be very great for general aviation, other than for flight schools that want to cut down on fuel consumption. I mean, they obviously can save a lot of money with the electric plane that way. But a four-seater with an 800-pound payload, that's pretty impressive, is it not, Keith?
That is pretty impressive for an electrical airplane.
And they say it'll only operate on batteries. It'll have a four-hour flying time. I mean, that is you can get a lot of distance out of that, potentially. Now, I don't know what
what's the speed.
I don't know if this article is talking about what the speed is going to be. Let's see. It's, 480 kilowatt propulsion, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. They're really working on, you know, what it costs to operate per hour, you know, versus like a 182 or something like that.
Right.
And they do believe they can cut it down by like 25% or something. Or I mean, by it'd be like 25% of operating a 182 is some of the numbers they're throwing around. But I'm not seeing offhand the how many knots they expect this to go. But, I mean, it has to be practical. So I would assume, the two-seater. No, they said the two-seater does like 120 knots under normal speed. So I would assume they will try to maintain that speed for the four. But, I don't know, 800 pounds, that's, I mean, with full fuel in a 182, is that about the same?
Yes.
So, I mean, that's obviously the market they're going for. And I don't know how long it'll take them to get this thing approved. But being that they already got the two-seater approved, I would imagine they'll be well on their way to get this done fairly quickly. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays. Now, I would imagine, I mean, one of the other benefits of these Sunflyers is that they're way quieter. And so if you have an area, say like Santa Monica, who are always complaining about the noise of the airplanes and shortening runways as a result of it, this might be an answer that they'll allow certain planes like this to fly because it'll be much quieter. You think?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So I don't know. Would you use one of these?
I wonder if they give their runway back.
I'm guessing no. It ain't going to happen. They're just going to see the plane like, oh, I can't hear. Well, wait, you can't hear nothing. It's an electric airplane. Just hear the wind. Whoosh. Now, I would imagine they do have some sound to them, but not nearly as loud as a regular type of airplane. But it's cool to see the technology evolve. I think you know, whether you're a fan of that, I mean, heck, the thing could be way more expensive than, you know, a traditional airplane, which I'm guessing initially it might be.
Probably will be.
And you have to offset those costs and justify it and all that kind of stuff. But eventually, I would hope that technology will catch up and the manufacturing will be more efficient and they'll bring the cost down. And this probably will be the future. Wouldn't you agree?
It would be interesting to know how soon they will come up with a flight training airplane.
Well, they got the two-seater now.
Well, yeah, but you'd have to have a rapid recharge.
Right. Which, well, they do. I mean, I think this is, I could be mistaken, but I believe this is the one where they have dual packs. So, like, you get two packs, you go fly the plane for a couple hours, and then you come back, and hey, you just switch out the battery packs or something. I know if this isn't the one, there's other companies doing that, but
right.
I think this might be the one.
But that's pretty labor-intensive for a flight school.
What, batteries? Having extra batteries?
Well, having to swap out the packs.
Well, I think they're making it pretty easy to do. I mean, that is the plan. I mean, they're trying to address that market of flight training to make it cheaper, less maintenance because it's battery powered and solid state drives and all that kind of
stuff.
Right,
I understand that. But, you know, what I'm looking at is like in our operation, we try and turn an airplane in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Because if we don't, we're not making money.
True.
Right? So we have to get the airplane in, get it parked. Mm-hmm. Have one student finish up, have the next student get dispatched and get back in that airplane in 15-minute time frame.
Well,
and if you have to add...
Throwing in the
battery packs and stuff to that.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what's involved. That'll be something we'll have to see how it plays out. But I would imagine that's batteries.
I'm sure it's
quick.
Coming. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't, you know, I would bet
something
it's not that hard.
That a pilot... can do, or is it something that maintenance is going to
have to
do? Especially in lieu of, it's a different story when you're talking about your own airplane,
right?
Versus an airplane for hire.
Well, true. Yeah.
And so, if it's an airplane for hire, like our flight school airplanes are we going to be able to do that? You know, where say Ed or I go out there and swap the battery packs around.
Yeah,
I better do it. We better not let Ed.
Well, I would think. They'll make that fairly easily to do, or if it's not already.
Well, yeah, that's just up to the FAA. How do they certify it? If they certify it for...
Well, they certified the two-seater, so they got the first... it's been certified, this Sunflyer.
Yeah, but again, what I'm saying is, for instance, the database updates for a general aviation airplane, you can go out, you own your airplane, you can go out and you can do the database updates without any issue.
Mm-hmm.
If that same airplane is on a 135, a charter certificate, a maintenance man has to do the update.
So there's all this extra BS you have to...
Right.
All these extra hoops.
You're totally capable of doing it yourself, but, the FAA
they won't
says,
let you.
They say that, a maintenance technician has to do the update.
Well, we'll have to see what these guys, how it evolves. I mean, but that's the market they're going for sure.
Right.
To make it more economical to run a flight school and stuff like that. So if they can get the juice working with these batteries... I mean, they've got it going for 4 hours. If they can make that happen for 4 hours at 120 knots and a four-seater with an 800-pound payload, that's impressive.
That's very impressive.
I mean, that gets out of the flight training arena and takes it into, this might be a palatable option for, someone who has a business who just needs to run quick runs over to the Bahamas.
Yeah, or I can take it up to Tallahassee to see my daughter.
True.
My daughters now.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
My second one's moving up there.
Okay. Well, that's good. So, if they're listening, the guys who make this Sunflyer are listening, I would be open to that possibility if you give me one of these things, and I'll fly it back and forth to the Bahamas, and Keith will fly it up to Tallahassee, and we could be like a testing crew.
And we could
have
their name on it along with JPR.
Exactly. I think this is a deal in the making. There should be. We're just trying to save the planet and get a free plane.
Done deal.
Okay.
Let me sign the papers.
All right. Well, they got to send them to us first.
Okay. I'm using your credit card this time.
Good luck with that. All right. Well, anyway, I hope they do well with that because I do think that is the future. Whether you're a big fan of electric or not, I mean... the technology just gets better and better. I mean, these Tesla things, I mean, to me, that just seems like this is the way it's going to go. But have you known anybody who's had any interaction with any of those yet?
No, not at
all. Other than seeing them like at Sun and Fun?
I have a neighbor who works on building an electric motor for a UAV. But
electric motor for a drone, you mean?
Basically, yeah. They're fairly good-sized drones, but he's working for a guy that's trying to design and build these things.
Yeah. And is he a big proponent of the technology?
Oh, he is, because he's an electrician, so he thinks electric is the way to go.
Is the future. Yeah. I mean, if you can pull it off, bring the price down. I mean, I like the idea of being pretty quiet, too.
Well, so do I.
I mean, I'd love to be able to be a glider as opposed to a pilot without all the noise. Take that,
take those headsets off.
And just put in little earbuds, and that'd be plenty. And just hear the wind. I think that'd be pretty sweet.
That would be very nice.
It could be the future.
That could be very relaxing at the end of the day when you're done flying 8-9 hours.
Well, no, during flying it should be relaxing is my point.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be so stressed out after a long day of flying either.
Well, that's true. All right. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Divers fear the bends. However, what does decompression sickness feel like? I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll share a few signs and symptoms next. Scuba
Radio. This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
Decompression sickness, or the bends, is a risk divers minimize with proper training. However, it can happen. Pain in the joints is the most common symptom. Numbness, headache, fatigue, motor weakness, nausea, or an unexplained skin rash can be a sign as well. If you or your buddy encounters any of those after a dive, get help now. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
For takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I was flying. Of course I was flying.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. Captain Keith rounding out the crew. All right, so Keith, I got this press release, and it talks about how the FAA may be eliminating circled approaches for like IFR approaches because of the next gen technology is going to make them obsolete. And I'm like, circling approaches. I'm not an IFR pilot. I'm not a VFR pilot really yet, but I'm. You know, pilot in training perpetually. So, explain what a circling approach would be first and why it's becoming obsolete.
Okay. So, it's very expensive to put in, like, say, an ILS system to a runway.
Okay.
And so they
That is like the instrument
landing system that gives you electronic guidance laterally and vertically and guides you down towards the ground.
Okay.
Until you can get below the clouds and land. And so what they do with airports that have multiple runways, they don't want to put in multiple approaches because it's very expensive. And so what they have done in the past is you use the one approach system that they have, and then they bring the minimums up higher. And as long as you have those higher minimums, you can now circle to another runway and land. So the instrument landing system that they have there now will get you down below the clouds, and then you can go ahead and circle to whatever runway you need to for landing.
Okay. What switching to VFR or?
Yes. So once you break out of the clouds, you're now visual.
Okay.
And so you now proceed visually within a half mile of that runway, and you go ahead and land on that other runway.
But because of the next-gen technology that they're rolling out now, they're claiming that they're looking at this and they may eliminate these.
Right.
Why?
Because now it's easier via satellite-based
GPS and
stuff. And so forth. It's much easier to just to build an approach to the existing runway. So now that you'd have approaches to each individual runway.
Okay. So they would just, instead of all that, you know, setting up an IFR approach or the ILS system, they could just do this with GPS technology.
Correct.
And like Google Maps.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. And so they would leave them in for some particular runways that would have maybe terrain that's in the way that they can't have an approach to that particular runway, so they would leave them in for those. But for the most part, they would eliminate them.
Got it. You think that's a good thing, or does it matter?
I definitely think it's a good thing. If you look at statistics, one, they're very seldom used. We use them all the time just because it's a requirement for training that you do that for your instrument training. It's required. Circling is a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in the system flying, you usually don't use them very often.
Unless you say there's an obstacle, like the airport is near a mountain, and for one particular runway, you can't just circle around.
Right.
Okay. Well, I like that. That's a good thing.
Yeah, so now you can just fly an approach straight in, which is much more effective. And it's less dangerous because, you know, you're at low altitude making maneuvers with fairly low visibility. When you come out, you know, you've got an IFR day. You weren't here last week, but we've had some pretty low visibility days. And if you had to do a circling approach there, you know, you could end up back in the clouds and then you have to go mist. And then people get confused on how to go mist. And
so how to go mist? What do you mean go mist?
Go mist approach.
Oh, I was going to say, you're going into the rain?
Yeah, I forgot I wasn't talking to a pilot here.
Yeah, well, I'll just, all right.
Yeah, so you have to go missed approach and come back and try the approach again. So it's just safer. That's why, all the airlines, what they're doing now is they're the non-precision approaches, like a VOR approach.
Yeah.
If they do one of those, they have a continual glide path instead of step downs. Because it's safer to do a continual descent rate instead of doing what we used to call dive and drive. Dive down, level off, dive down, level off. They just do a constant descent now like you would on an ILS.
Which would be way smoother for the passengers, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I will give...
And it's a lot safer.
Props to my pilots there that got me back and forth from the Turks and Caicos last week. They did pretty good on their landings. There was one where he might have come in a little bit hot, had to hit the brakes a little harder, but, you know, it was because it was kind of, I think he had a tailwind. But other than that, I gave him, he did pretty good. And, you know, when I walked off the plane, and they go, bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye. I was like, hey, good flying there, buddy. I gave him props, and he's like, get him off my plane. But, yeah, I'm used to that part. I figure you should say that.
Does he have a restraining order yet?
No, I moved too quickly, so I couldn't really, you know, get a good description, you know, to the security folks. But you should do that as a pilot, shouldn't you? Do you ever do that when you're walking off the plane and you felt that he landed the plane good, and you see the pilot there at the end when you're walking off the plane and say, "Hey, good job." Do you ever do that? Is that not good form? And wouldn't that be appropriate?
No. Professional pilots typically don't do that. Unless they know the pilot up there personally.
Yeah. Well, what if what
then
if,
they're just going to harass them.
What if the landing was kind of rough? Do you ever say you don't say nothing either way?
No.
Why? I mean, what good is that? Don't you want them to improve? Don't you want to give them like positive reinforcement when they do good and negative when
they're not going to take that from me? They have no idea who I am.
Yeah. Well, like they'll say, "Who are you?" Well, it's like I'm a commercial pilot, there, sir. I'm like,
he's just going to do like Ed and everybody else does and tell me I'm number one.
You get used to it.
I do. I'm very used to it.
Okay. Well, maybe that's just me. I don't know. But see, being that I'm not a full-fledged pilot just yet, I think I can get away with I don't believe in negative reinforcement, so I don't say, "Hey, that landed, that blew, buddy. What the hell were you drinking before you got on board the plane?"
Well, see, I know that anybody can have a bad day and anybody can make a bad landing. I've been there.
But I say you did a good job when they do a good job. And on that positive note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there is no better high
than crash landing. Okay, then learning to fly.
Exactly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far, cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.